Okay, let's see your Bibles this morning. Word. Let's see your pens. Pens. Let's see your bulletins. Bulletins. Let's try one more time because you guys are awake. Are you awake? Okay, let's try one more time. Word. Pens. Bulletin. Okay, all right. Don't be getting old on me now. Don't be getting old on me. Santos has a CD. I'm sure he told you, but I'm going to tell you again. Go out and get his CD. It's at the table outside. And get information. Whether you have a friend that needs to go to the drug rehab place or not, pick up a card. You never know who you might meet. It might be someone you don't even know. And just have that card with you so you can refer them to Calvary Ranch anytime, any day. We want to be able to help people. Let's turn to Luke chapter 1. Excuse me. We're in the middle of at the end of a series on faith called Raw Faith, and today we're scheduled to give the last message, the W in the Raw Faith. Raw is R-A-W. The R is for rely on the word. The A is for act on what the word says or rely on the facts. The A is for act. Faith acts on what the word says. And the W was to watch what God does. But we're not going to do it today because two reasons. One, Christmas, a lot of people in and out of town. And when we do a sermon on Sunday, the small groups during the week go over it again, and I don't want to have the small groups miss out on this. This last W is very important. The other thing is, between now and the day we do end it, which will probably be in 2 weeks, next week we'll do something else because it's going into the new year. So January 6th, I want all of y'all who've been in the series to be practicing raw faith. Rely on the word. Start looking at the word as things you're supposed to rely on. Faith relies on the word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Start doing what the Bible says. Faith without works is dead. It has to do something. And then watch what God does in your life. So practice doing it. I was talking about this last night with my kids, and I said to them, what are some verses in the Bible, facts, that we need to rely on? And they were going, oh, no, Dad, They started spouting off some stuff. I said, okay. For the next whatever, go get a pen and paper, and I want all y'all to find five commandments in the Bible or things the Bible says to do or don't do, and write them out. Those are going to be the things you're going to put your faith in. And I said, I said, okay, just shut up and do it. Okay, so they went in there. they're kind of getting the thing, and my son goes, can we use the Ten Commandments? There's ten right there. So I was like, well, if you can find them, so he's looking through the Bible, and my daughter's lazy. She's kind of just trying to waste time, and my son finds the Ten Commandments, and my daughter goes, give me those verses, because I told him they could share. But the point is that your faith is always based on facts, so you need to know what the facts say, not your opinion, my opinion. So what does the Bible say? So if you have an issue, okay, what does the Bible say? Okay, so I want you to practice that until, for the next couple of weeks, especially through the holidays, you're going to get tempted, going to be a lot of cheer and spirits in the air, and, just be Christian. I was watching Forrest Gump the other day. I'm going to tell you something about Forrest Gump. I know it was a movie, but that was a cool dude. And I was watching this movie, and I probably cried three times in the movie. And it's serious. I'm telling you, it's a serious movie. And I was like, I want to be like Forrest. For real. The dude had no care. He didn't care about anything except doing the right thing. And he had a big heart, and he just went wherever God led him. Met the president again. I mean, he was so funny too. He was funny, but he wasn't trying to be funny. He was just funny. So I just want to be like that dude. But I was watching that guy, and for all of you who've seen the movie, just to be thinking, Lord, I want to be like that feather at the end. where the wind blew the feather. The Bible says he who's born again is like the wind. You don't know where it comes or where it goes. That God would be able to blow you over here and blow you over here, and you go, okay, just like a box of chocolates. I'll get a little cherry thing over here, a little caramel over here. Don't matter. So be like that for the Lord this holiday. If God wants to use you with this person, if God wants to use you with this person, just do it. Just do it. Let God have his way with your life. Okay, turn to Luke 1. Lord, we just pray that you would speak to us and that we would listen. We thank you for another Christmas. We pray for all the people who are shopping right now. We pray you lock up their credit cards. Because some people are in sin. They've gone over the limit. But we pray, Lord, that we would enjoy being loving and giving this holiday, and that we would always remember what it's really all about. It's not about the tree. It's not about Santa. It's about Jesus. And we pray that we would represent that in a righteous way this holiday. In Jesus' name, amen. Christmas is Tuesday. Tomorrow's Christmas Eve. Tomorrow we're going to be reminded of what supposedly happened on Christmas, which Jesus was not born on Christmas, as you know, but that, well, you may not know that, but he wasn't, but that's another story. But still, we celebrate on December 25th. But today, what I want to talk about is the birth of John, the forerunner of Jesus. John was Jesus' cousin. He was born about 6 months before Christ, and he came to tell people about Christ. That was his job. That was his purpose. He came to tell people, I want to warn y'all, someone's coming after me who you need to listen to. That was his job. So between now and tomorrow night, I want you to play John the Baptist. Go tell somebody, hey, look, Christmas is Tuesday. You need to come to church on Monday. So I want to tell you. I want to warn you. We're going to talk about Jesus on Monday night. So come on to church. Play John the Baptist. In this story, we're going to look at him, the announcement of his birth, and then his message. His message. Let's look at Luke 1, verse 5. It says, there was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron. Her name was Elizabeth. A priest had to be of the family of Aaron or the lineage of Aaron, and Zacharias was, and also his wife was. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord. They were blameless. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. If God has not answered your prayer as it pertains to children, as it pertains to whatever, don't assume it's because he's mad at you. And don't assume it's because maybe I didn't do one commandment. Just assume that God is using it in your life for whatever reason that maybe you'll know one day. But the Bible says here that they were both godly people. He was a priest. They were both obeyed the commandments. Yet she couldn't have a baby. That's just the way it was. Just the way it was. God wasn't mad at them. He wasn't trying to hurt them. So don't let the devil lie to you and take it so personal. Continue to obey God. There are things that I've asked for, even spiritual things. You know, the ability to pray in tongues or whatever. And God said, no. Okay. I gave you other things. Don't worry about it. That's what he says to me. So this, you can't always have everything you want, when you want it, how you want it. But what you do have is a relationship with God, and you walk in that, and you trust in that. Verse 8, so it was while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. The whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. A priest would go into the temple maybe once in his lifetime to serve and to burn incense. This was his probably one time. For a whole week he would go in and burn incense. The incense was symbolic of the prayers of the people. When you pray, your prayers go up to God as incense. An angel brings your prayers. In Revelation, it tells us that. It's an amazing thing. The Bible says in verse 11, then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar. I can't wait to see angels. I can't wait to talk to angels about what they did when we were here. You know how many angels saved you? If you, when you go to heaven, if y'all go to heaven, some of y'all might not be going. I don't know. Some of you may not be going. We're going to help you at the end if you're not sure. But for all y'all who do go to heaven, and you see the angels that have served you, their servants is what they are, ask them, how many times did you really save me? Every day. Remember that girl you were going to marry? Ooh, I saved you from that. You have no idea, brother. Homegirl had issues. Just so I don't get any letters. Remember that guy you were going to marry? He had issues. Actually, I meet more couples with the guys with the issues, but way more with the guys got the issues. So, but, you know, we ain't going to deal with that. Verse 12. When Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. Can you imagine that? The Holy Spirit was in him while he was in his mother's womb? If you have, if you're pregnant today or you know somebody pregnant, pray for the baby all the time. Pray that God's spirit would be with that baby. And he says in verse 16, he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. And the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. His job was to prepare people for Jesus. His job was to prepare people for Jesus. If you have someone in your world that is not saved, one of the ways you can prepare them for Jesus is to pray for them. By name. What's your name? Adrienne. Okay. Lord, I want to lift up, what's your last name? Harden? Harston? Carson? This is a lot more difficult than I thought it was going to be. Adrienne Carson, and well, I won't go into where you live because that may take another half an hour, but where you live and, you know, if I know her, Lord, I want to pray for her. I want to pray for her and just be specific. Boom, 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 boom. And you do it every day. If you have never seen someone's heart change from prayer, you probably never pray for anybody. You got to pray for them. And there are people who change. And what John came to do was say, I want to get y'all ready because someone's coming who's going to die on the cross. You got to repent. And he ain't playing. That was his job. Okay? Look what the Bible says. In verse 18, Zacharias said to the angel, come on, man. Are you kidding me? How is this going to be? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years. Notice that he didn't say my wife was old. That's a sensitive brother right there. You're an old dude, and your wife, she's well advanced. If you're one old woman, just ask her, how advanced are you? Well, when did you graduate high school? He says, well, I'm old. My wife is advanced. And the angel answered and said, now, I want you to understand this. He is this angel. I mean, we don't know what he looked like, but let's just give him some respect here. He was like 9 feet tall. Okay? Glowing. He wasn't even on the floor. He was about this high off the floor, just. I mean, is that okay? Because we're not talking about a little shrimp dude, okay? We're talking about a big dude. His size doesn't matter. He had power. He can go within the natural to the supernatural, to heaven. Okay? He comes in, and there's a man who's scared. And the angel says, Zacharias, you're going to have a child. His name is going to be John. He's going to lead the people to the Lord. And Zacharias says, I don't believe you. Zacharias, look who's talking to you. Do you think he would lie? Do you think he got nothing better to do than to tell you this stuff? So Gabriel says, because I'm sure Gabriel's thinking, do you know who he says? Angel says, I am Gabriel, man. I'm the one who stands in the presence of God. At that point, if I'm Zacharias, I am now scared. Gabriel, I just came from heaven. I was standing in heaven with God. What were you doing an hour ago? I was sent to speak to you and bring you glad tidings. But since you didn't believe me and copped an attitude, look at what it says. But behold, you will be mute and not be able to speak until these things have taken place because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. Ooh. So you're calling me a liar, huh? Shut it up. Gabriel, Zacharias, you ain't going to talk anymore. Your wife's going to get pregnant. And you ain't going to say a word until the baby comes. Now that must have been something. He had to tell his wife without talking. Me and you, we're going to have a baby. She's like, Verse 21, the people waiting for Zacharias marveled that he lingered so long in the temple, but when he came out, he could not speak to them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. So it was, as soon as his days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house, and after those days, his wife conceived. And she hid herself 5 months, saying, thus the Lord has dealt with me, and in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach from among the people. When you don't believe God, you cheat yourself out of a blessing. God will tell you things that are unbelievable. God will tell you things that are unbelievable. And when you don't believe them, you cheat yourself out of unbelievable blessings. Period. God will never accept from you the excuse, it was too good to be true. Or, I didn't have enough information. Or, God, it was just, he's like, I'm Gabriel. I stand before God. Don't doubt anything I tell you. I'm God. Don't doubt anything I promise you. But we have in our mind, remember we talked about faith goes beyond the use of our senses. It goes beyond the use of what we reason. Your reasoning and your education and your logic don't mean anything when it comes to what God says. You have to trust God at his word. Turn to Matthew chapter 3. And we're going to look at Matthew 3. We're going to look at John the Baptist very briefly. In those days, 3:1, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, prepare a way for the Lord, make his path straight. of John, it would said he would say, prepare a way for the Lord. Of Jesus, it said he is the way. John was there to prepare the way for Christ. Christ was there to fulfill what John predicted. The Bible says in verse 4, John himself was clothed with camel's hair, the leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and honey. In Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. And when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees, the religious, coming to his baptism, he said to them, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not think to say you yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Indeed, I baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandal I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. He's in the desert. He's got camel's hair, leather belt. He's eating locusts and honey. He was a rough, tough guy, lived by himself most of his life, and he's out in Borrego preaching. Okay? He's eating honey, locust, legs all, fear factor dude, right? Legs all come out of his mouth. Camel's hair, leather belt, like that. And all the people were going out to hear him. And what he told them was, hey, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. Repent. And as he's out there preaching, the religious come to him, and he says something to them, and what he said to them is what I want to talk about, and it's four words. They all start with the word F, the letter F. Look at verse 7, the fifth to the last word. It says flee. Everybody say flee. In verse 8, fruit. Say fruits. Verse 9, father. Say father. And verse 11, say fire. Fire. No, fire. Fire. Okay, okay. Give me some Jackie Chan in it. Fire! Okay. Now, flee. First thing, flee. To flee means to run. Run, Forrest, run. It means to run. When I was about 10 years old, I went to the grocery store with a friend. He was about 12, 13. I didn't know what we were going for. He had a bag with him. And we're walking down every aisle, and he keeps taking things off the shelf and putting them in his bag. And I'm thinking, I think we're stealing. I didn't know. I was a real innocent kid. I went to Catholic school. I feared God. I knew stealing was wrong. I knew there would be consequences. And I didn't want, I was scared. So we went from aisle to aisle. To aisle, we got to the last aisle, and he says, it's going to be the last thing. And the store manager walked up and put his hand on our shoulder. He takes us in the back. His mother comes. She was a tall woman with big hands. And all I remember was the sound of the wind going through her fingers. Whew. There was a little mini tornado behind her hand. It was so fast. And then on his head. And I was like, I was wondering if she's going to hit me. Now, you know, we most of us are older here than the eating services. We grew up. Didn't y'all neighbors get you whoopings as you went down the street? You got whooped by the neighbor 3 doors down. You got whooped by the neighbor 2 doors down. You got whooped by your own mother. Right? They just warmed that booty up. So when you get on home, it was all ready to go. That's how I grew up. So I was expecting to get it, but she didn't whoop me. We walked home. And my mother, I remember my mother telling me, I had fear of God in me. She said, I'm not going to tell your father. And the reason she didn't tell my father, because she loved me. She wanted me to go to high school. And I don't even think to this day my father even knows. But let me tell you something. I never did that again. But you know what? Why didn't I run? I could have run. My feet work. And when you attempt and you're in a situation, flee. Run. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee sexual immorality. I've been having all these, but several friends hearing about people into different things. Flee sin. Flee sin. Walk or run away. It's so basic. You're in a situation, how do I say no? How do I say no? Get up and run. You don't have to say anything. Just let them hear, click, 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 click. There's this show, a commercial. I think it's about the Special Olympics. It is hilarious. There's a kid. He's in the Special Olympics. He has some kind of handicap. And he's a runner. And they're showing him running. Then they're showing him in this room getting dressed for his thing. And they're showing him running. And he goes, this is my number, 106, whatever it was. He says, this is all they're going to see when I'm running away from them. And he's talking trash. This dude is talking trash. He says, because I'm going to run so fast, they're only going to see the back of me. And I love it because he just showed him in his heart, hey, I'm going to win. You can run. And no matter what the situation is, if you're in a car with a guy, you don't want to be in a car with a guy, unlock the door, get out, and run. Someone will pick you up. My address is on the back of this if you want to complain about my jokes. Flee. The next thing it says in verse 8, bear fruit worthy of repentance. You know what John said? You better run from sin. And if you claim to be a believer, live like one. I mean, if you think about Forrest Gump was so Christian, and he wasn't even Christian. He was just a good guy. And there are people who are saved that don't act like that, that wouldn't do the things he did, not worrying about what other people think, just because his heart said so. That's what John said. Hey, if you're going to call yourself that, do it. Don't do today what you used to do yesterday. If you have Christ in your life, if you ask Christ to be your Savior, change. That's what it's all about. It's not about, okay, God, forgive me, I want to go to hell. Whew, now that I got that out of the way, let's go do my thing. No, no, no. God, forgive me, I'm wrong. Change me. Not only change me, Lord, today, but Lord, I'm excited about what you're going to make me next week. When we finish the Raw Faith series, the W is for watching what God does. In other words, the Bible says to do something, you rely on the facts, you do it, and then God does something. But the amazing part about the W is that God can do stuff even before you act. He can promise to do stuff before you act. That's the exciting part about living for Christ, is that God will tell you stuff, whether in your heart or right here in the Word. Excuse me. And his promise to do that, or your hope, your anticipated desire that he does the supernatural, is what should fire you up to pray. What should fire you up to read the Bible? What should fire you up to obey? Because you know that that these miracles require obedience. They require you to step out by faith. And so when God says, hey, listen, I'm going to forgive you, but I want you to change. The hope of glory is the motivation to change, because there's no way you can estimate, determine what God's going to do in your life. It is so beyond your imagination. The minute you start saying, well, if I just pray, nothing's going to happen, or just a little bit's going to happen. If I read a Bible, nothing's going to happen. Oh, let me tell you something. You don't know God. You don't know God. You don't know God. And you may say, well, that's how it is in my life. Whoa, that's you. But that's not God. God wants to go beyond that. So say, Lord, I want to bear fruit of repentance. I want to have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. I want to see the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit in my life. I want to see miracles happen in my life. I want to hear you tell me words of knowledge. I want to see you use me to lead people to the Lord. I want to see you answer my prayers. I want to see you do amazing things in my life. Well, change then. Follow me. Trust me. Put your sin on the table and confess it and let me take it from you. The third thing he says, verse 9, do not say to yourself, we have Abraham as our father, for I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. What he meant was, don't say that just because you're a Jew and the father of faith is Abraham, that you're going to be saved. Mm-mm. Don't just think because you're God's chosen people, you're going to be saved. And likewise for us, don't think that just because you live in America, you're going to be saved. Or you go to the church. Or you prayed a prayer, which hopefully you really meant. You need to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart God raised him from the dead. Surrender your life to him and turn everything over to him more and more each day. And walk a life worthy of being called a Christian. Trusting him by faith, believing him, obeying him by faith, anticipating his return by faith, loving my enemies by faith. That's what it's called all about. Serving by faith. He says, don't think you're a good person. Turn to Matthew. We're going to come back here. Turn to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 19. Verse 16. Now behold, one came and said, good teacher. This is the story of the rich young ruler. Behold, one came and said, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may enter into life? He's talking to Jesus. Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God. You think you're good? Jesus just told you you're not. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. I'm good. No, you're not. You're a sinner. I've been forgiven. You're a sinner. There's only one that's good, it's God. God, I'm going to heaven because I never killed anybody. You're still a sinner. Look what it says. It says, he says, no one is good but God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. He said, which ones? Jesus said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. When my kids were doing their little verses yesterday, I said, Kelly, what are your verses? She says, you know, whatever, whatever. Then she says, thou shalt not commit adultery. I said, Kelly, you're not married. And you don't know anybody married, that ain't going to happen. So give me a verse that applies to you. Okay. What do verses apply to you? That's what he says. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. Oh, man, God, look what he says. All these things I have done since I was a kid. What do I lack? I could do that. Jesus says, okay, that was just round phase one. Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then come follow me. Okay, Mr. Big Stuff. Mr. Goody Two Shoe. You're going to heaven because you're good? Give up everything. Oh, wow. I don't want to be good that bad. You know what he says? Don't think just because you're doing a little bit of godliness is good enough. I want it all. Jesus wants your whole heart. He doesn't want Christmas Day. He doesn't want Easter. He doesn't want church once a month. He wants your whole heart every day. I was witnessing this gang member one day. And we're in his room. And we're talking. And I drew these little stick figures on the paper. I said, "This is you." I said, "You got a girlfriend?" He said, "Yeah." "This is you. What's your girlfriend's name?" "This is your girlfriend, Maria. And this is Pancho." What would happen if your girlfriend, Maria, said that she was going to be your girlfriend 4 days a week, 5 days a week, but Pancho had her 2 days a week? How is that? Is that okay with you? "Oh, no. Oh, no. That ain't going to happen, is it?" I said, "Hey, man, that's the deal. When you give your life to God, he wants 7 days. Don't think that you're any more important than God. God wants 7 days." That's what he said. "I want 7 days. I want 100% of your heart." The last one, go back to Matthew 3. "Lord, bless all of us that are sick or getting sick or have been sick. And all the germs in the air, just kind of let them go. Verse 11, "Indeed, I baptize you with water, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandal I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." Fire. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit, the helper whom the Father will send, will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance all the things that Jesus has said. The Bible says, "I will pray to the Father and he will give you a helper. He will abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he will dwell with you and be in you. God will purge your sin with fire." And the Holy Spirit fire will not only purge your sin, but if you let it, and if you invite it, and if you allow it, it will burn within you. Jeremiah, the Bible says that he was trying not to preach because no one listened to him, and he says he couldn't not preach because the gospel was in him like fire in his bones burning. He couldn't hold. He got, the Bible says he got weary, tired from holding it in. I've been in bed all week, most of the week sick. And I could hear my voice starting to go back to where it was. But I said, "Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go up and talk real soft. I'm not going to use any energy. I'm just going to conserve energy." But I can't. My wife's like, "Did you yell?" "Yes." Why? Because of the fire. The fire. If you have no fire, if you don't have a passion to do something from God, you're going to ask why. That's not normal. It's not normal you walk around, "Oh, well, you know, maybe I read my Bible. Maybe I won't. Maybe I pray. Maybe I witness. Oh, you might go to hell. I don't really care. That's okay. I'm just too selfish to share and risk being embarrassed. So I hope you find God somewhere." That's what you're saying by not witnessing to people. That's what you're saying. "I am too uncomfortable," or "I don't want to risk getting embarrassed," or "someone else will do it." That's what you're saying. But the fire can't say that. The fire says, "Let's go, Joe." The fire is... There's also a fire hell. Some of y'all will go to hell. But it ain't going to be because of what I'm not going to say. Because in a minute, we're going to give you an opportunity to ask Christ to be your Savior so you don't have to go to hell and experience the fire. Because the Bible says there's a fire that doesn't go out. Do you know in the Twin Towers? I was talking to my brother the other day. He lives in New York. By the way, my brother's name is Mark, and he needs to be at the drug rehab Calvary Ranch. And he was in ministry. We used to sleep in the same bed when we were scared as kids. And he's needs to be at Calvary Ranch. So if you pray, just think of it, pray for him. Well, I was talking to him the other day, and he says, "Miles, the Twin Towers, 10 floors is compressed into 1 foot." And he says, "The core is still 1,200 degrees. 3 months later, you know what hell is going to be like? They've been spraying water on that thing for 3 months, and it's still, I think the fire just went out. 1,200 degrees. He says when the policemen walk on it, they have to change their boots, melt. I was like, what? Hell. Fire unquenchable for people who do not accept the salvation given to us by our Savior who was born in a manger. In a minute, you're going to pray. Have an opportunity to pray and ask Jesus to be your Savior, that the fire may not torment you. But more importantly, y'all, is that you would ask Christ to be your Savior so he can change you and bless you in this life now. Let's all pray. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness and your goodness. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you for the fire that can purge our sin. Lord, there are people here today, I pray, would invite friends tomorrow night that they don't think will come. And I pray that they come and get saved. But Lord, there are people here right now who need to ask you to be their Savior. Today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. So if you would like Jesus to forgive you of your sin, purge your sin with Holy Spirit fire. Pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. But as you pray, you must believe that God loves you. You must believe these things to be true. In the privacy of your heart, pray, dear God, I believe that I'm a sinner. I believe my sin is wrong, that it will kill me and send me to hell. I want to be forgiven. Dear Jesus, I believe you love me, that you died and rose from the dead. Please forgive me of my sin. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I want to be born all over again. Thank you, Jesus. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer in a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand up and acknowledge that. The Bible says if you're ashamed of him, Christ, Jesus said if you're ashamed of me before man, I'm going to be ashamed of you. God wants to cleanse you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to love you. But he can't do it if you don't let him. So right now, if you prayed that prayer to ask Jesus to be your Savior, stand up in your seat right now. Eyes closed, heads bowed. Stand up in your seat. God bless you. Stay standing. God bless you. Stay standing, please. Good. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Anybody else? God has spoken to you. You have responded. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. Anybody else? You need to give your life to Christ right now. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Anybody else? Stand to your feet. Young, old, male, female, does not matter. Anybody else? God bless you. Now we're going to ask all you people who are standing to do one more thing. We want to pray for you, pray with you. As we welcome you to the family of God, we're going to ask you right now to step out of your seat and come down here and shake my hand. Come on down here right now. Come on. Come on. God bless you. Stay right there, okay? Stay right there. God bless you. Stay right there. You can face this way. God bless you. God bless you. Congratulations. Come on, let's give him a hand now. God bless you. God bless you. Hey, hello to your sister. Stay right there. Stay right there. Come shake my hand. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? Here we go. Come on. Amen. God bless you. 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 The Bible says, if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you and remember it no more. God is not going to remember your sin anymore. The devil will remind you and your parents and your friends, your You know what I'm saying? It will remind you, I used to do that. You're not going to change. But that's not God. God, he wants to wipe it clean and start all over. The only thing you got to do is obey him. Amen? That's it. You just got to obey him. This book right here is what we obey. Why we come here is to learn how to obey, to get encouraged to obey. But the bottom line is that we got to obey him every day by faith. That's the bottom line. You do what you want, there are consequences. You do what God wants, there's blessings. Simple as that. We want to do is encourage you and help you do that. So we're going to pray for you, and then we're going to send some of y'all over there. They're going to give you something, and some of y'all over there, they're going to give you something and talk with you. All y'all, and y'all too, tomorrow night at 5 o'clock, 7 o'clock, I know it's Christmas Eve, bring a friend. Want to see him get saved. Want to see a ton of them. We got this skit is going to be very simple, very profound. Trust me. Amen? Let's pray for them. Lord, we thank you for these people. We thank you for your love for them. We thank you for your plan in their life. We do pray you transform their lives. We pray you transform their lives. Use them in a mighty way. Lord, I pray that you would put it on everyone's heart. Somebody that they least expect to come tonight that they would bring tomorrow night. Somebody who they've been trying to figure out who to witness to, who's been saying no to church, but they would take advantage of Christmas to get them. And we pray they would come and be saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're just going to ask all y'all to go walk that way, right to the front, and all y'all can walk that way right over there. God bless you. See you tomorrow.